This copyrighted broadcast is presented by All Paws Pet Talk Radio and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form. Any information or segments of this show and all of the shows may not be disseminated without express written consent from the All Paws Pet Talk producer.
Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hi, y'all. Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk Radio and TV. My name is Chris Rubin, your host and resident pet industry pro, accompanied here by my world-class panel. She's an equine and dog whisperer of the finest kind, especially in the rescue variety, Janice Weiss. Welcome, Janice. Our man from Italy, who got his degree at the University of Parma and then came back and did all kinds of animal work in the States, on all size animals. Dr. Don Canfer. Welcome back, Don. And one of my finest colleagues and friends, Dusty Rainbolt, who is really a crazy cat lady, but that's defined by having rescued and rehomed over 1,500 kittens and cats.
Hi.
He's also the person who's going to, I'm going to throw it over to for animal news you can use. Dusty?
Well, thank you, Chris. It's great to be back. A while back, I was reading this very interesting article, and as somebody who has traveled with cats many, many times, this one caught my eye. It was about, TSA had released a number of photographs of x-rays of cats going through security, and you wouldn't think that would be a big deal, except they were in luggage. So anyway, having almost done that the first time I traveled with my cats, I thought, you know, this is an interesting story. So without any more ado, I'd like to pass the ball over to Lisa Farbstein. She is a spokesperson for TSA, and she also happens to be a cat lover. So welcome, Lisa. We're certainly glad to have you here.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's going to be a fun little chat.
I think so. So can you tell me about these two stories? One, that they actually went through the security checkpoint and put the cat through the x-ray where, you know, they're looking for your knives and such. And then the other one was actually through the checked baggage. So can you tell us about the two incidences that seem to be in the news?
Sure. So I think that the first thing you need to know is that travelers should always remove their pets from their travel carrying cases so that they do not go through the checkpoint x-ray machines. We are seeing a proliferation of people traveling with their pets, mainly dogs and cats. And unfortunately, some people forget to remove their pet from the carry-on bag. The whole idea is you bring your pet in a travel bag, and usually they just look like duffel bags to a TSA officer. And so when you get to the checkpoint, what you want to do is you want to take your pet out of the carrying case, leave the case itself, probably in a bin to go along the conveyor belt to go through the x-ray machine. So TSA is x-raying that pet carrier to make sure there's nothing concealed inside. You know, there's not, we'll use the example of a knife, you know, maybe underneath a blanket or a towel or in a little zipper side pocket. And then the idea is that nothing should be, we call it artfully concealed on the pet. So the idea is you hold your pet and you walk through the metal detector. And assuming that nothing, you know, buzzes, nothing triggers an alarm, they're going to swab your hands because you have touched and held your pet. And what they're swabbing for is any traces of explosives.
Uh-huh.
That's really what we care about. And then assuming that you're not triggering an alarm, then what's going to happen is you just go to the other side of the checkpoint and you put your pet back in the carrier, you know, you zip it up and you're good to go to your gate. And that's how it should work. Another option is that, let's say your pet is well trained and is on a leash, you can walk your pet right through the walkthrough metal detector. And again, assuming that nothing is triggered by that walkthrough metal detector, meaning any kind of a heavy metal collar or super heavy leash with lots of metal, that should be okay too. So you can hold your pet or you can walk it through. And the other option is you always have the option of requesting to be screened in a private screening room. So typically somebody who might be getting a pat down might not feel comfortable getting the pat down in front of other people. So they might request to be screened in a private screening room. You can do the same thing with your pet. That personally is what I recommend you do with a cat, because a cat is much more skittish typically than a dog. And they, while we highly recommend you keep your cat on a leash, most people don't necessarily have their cats on a leash when they're in that travel, like travel carrying case. So, you know what? Request that you be screened in the private screening room. The pet carrier will still go through the X-ray machine. You take your cat into the private screening room, and they're just going to, again, make sure that, you know, you do not have anything on you concealed, and the pet doesn't either, nothing around the collar, or if it's got some kind of a vest on or harness, and that's what they're looking for. That way, especially with a cat, you know, if the cat hears noise and gets skittish and jumps down, I mean, I know my cat wouldn't put up with that. The cat would likely, you know, start a little hissing going on there, maybe try to bite my hand or scratch me, and you know, I'm likely to drop the cat. And if you're in that private screening room, the cat is contained. You can pick the cat up. And when you have your travel carrying case back with you, you put the cat back in there. But there have been instances where pets, and cats are a good example, might have just been carried through. And, you know, checkpoints are noisy places. There are lots of sounds. There are lots of people. There are lots of noises of bins clanking around and people pulling luggage and you know, people talking loudly and people, you know, talking to the kids and the TSA officers, talking to the passengers. So it's a pretty loud place. And I can't blame the cat for being scared. So, you know, sometimes indeed you have a little visitor. So
you. That's right, what we're all about. We love it. That
any better.
Well, so you know,
this is Maggie.
Oh, so, hi, Maggie.
That's the best part of the interview, Lisa. Thank you.
It's probably going to be. Anyhow, so there are instances where cats have indeed hopped down and run away in the terminal. And it has taken days for people to try to locate the cat. So we don't want that happening. So again, request a private screening room. That is for a piece of carry-on luggage. And again, this happens all over the country, where unfortunately what happens is the TSA officer does not realize that there is a pet inside the carrier. They just think it is a, you know, a duffel bag or a backpack. And when they see the image on the X-ray monitor, I mean, they're stunned. They're like, oh, my God, get it out of there. Now, the only people who should be taking X-rays of your pets, of course, are veterinarians. And that's only if the pet needs something like that. So keep that in mind. Now, the instance where the cat was in a check bag was very interesting. So what happened was the TSA officers were screening a check bag, and they opened it, and there was a cat inside. There you go. There's your image. That is a cat inside a check bag. And so what they did, they notified the airline. The airline paged the passenger, and the passenger came to the customer service desk, and they asked the passenger, you know, you have your cat in your check bag. And he says, I don't have a cat. And what happened? And it gets even more confusing. And so what happened was as it turned out, the individual was visiting some friends and was now flying to another destination. And while he was packing his check bag, apparently the cat just crawled in, curled up, and took a nap. He didn't realize it. He zipped up the suitcase and, you know, ran off to the airport. So Then when he said it wasn't his cat, it belonged to the housemate, the police got involved because the police wanted to make sure he wasn't trying to steal the cat. So what happened was they called the house of the owner, and they figured out what had happened was the cat just crawled in there, and he took the cat by mistake. And so the owner's friends came and picked up the cat because the owner was at work. And the owner, I spoke with the owner later, and she told me that she would have never known there was any problem. The cat was chill, completely chill, and, you know, it was a good story. But as I was talking with the owner, it was, you know, not far from Thanksgiving. And so I asked the individual, the woman, the owner of the cat, and the cat's name is Smells. So I asked if what she was doing for the holiday, and she said she was having her family over to her apartment. And I said, and Smells will be there, right? And she said, yes. And I asked, could she snap a photo of Smells at the Thanksgiving table? And I would tweet about that, that Smells was fine, because so many people were asking, oh, my God, what happened to the cat? And a lot of people thought the guy, you know, that he was intentionally trying to transport the cat in his checked baggage to avoid any additional airline fee. But that wasn't the case at all. So I did put out a tweet with the cat at the Thanksgiving table. And so that was a fluke, definitely a fluke. So we don't expect to see anything else like that. But several I'm a spokesperson for TSA, and I have many other colleagues who are spokespeople. And we do indeed try to get the word out. We hold press conferences at different airports to raise awareness that if you want to travel with a pet, that's great. We're happy to screen your pet to make sure that it's all cool to go. And the proper way to do it is to make sure that is your pet is removed from the carry-on bag before you go. You go put the carry-on bag itself empty through into the x-ray machine.
Lisa, this is fascinating. And I know my colleagues and I have at least 100 questions each, but we're going to narrow that down to 3 or 4 right after this break, okay? So stay tuned, guys, because you're going to want to hear the answers to these questions.
Hi, I'm Burt Ward, Robin from Batman, and I believe there is nothing more precious than life. 20 years ago, we got a dog for our daughter to grow up with, and she became our daughter's best friend. Everything we did with our dogs, she did with her dog. Then she fell in love with 2 Great Dane puppies. We were worried because we knew that large dogs normally live only 7 to 9 years. But we found a way to keep her dogs and our dogs wonderfully healthy and living many years longer. Living as long as 27 healthy, active years. We created Gentle Giants, a special low-fat, heart-healthy, super premium dog food and a unique feeding and care program that we believe has added precious years to the lives of our dogs. And we'd like to do the same thing for you and your dog. Life doesn't have to be too short for your best friend. All natural. Gentle Giants. For the longer, healthier, happier life of your dog.
Gentle Giants for life.
Folks, welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk Radio and TV. We're here with Lisa Farbstein, TSA spokesperson, and I know my panel has 1,000 questions, so Janice, go for it.
Hi, Lisa. So glad that you could be on. I actually travel with a service dog and train service dogs, so I'm keenly aware of having my hands swabbed, my boots swabbed, everything else, and I want to just add one thing and then kind of throw something back to you. When people travel with a pet, it's always great to not use a metal collar. You should use nylon with like a buckle that's plastic or something, so that you're not going to false the machinery. Because my dogs all obviously are very well trained and they'll walk through, but a lot of people tend to use metal leashes and such, and you're just adding a step. So my part one is, what can people do to help that situation along? And the second part is, how does a cat stuck in a suitcase not either meow or suffocate? Because seriously, depending on the kind of suitcase, there's not a whole lot of air in there. And it worries me that, you know, what kind of shape are these animals in and how long can they have been in there without proper air and breathing? So it's a two-part question.
Well, I think that's the question for the veterinarian about how how safe that is for the cat's, well-being. And in this case, the owner of Smells the Cat said that the cat, did not seem any different and recovered from the experience. So that's great news. So I just don't know. As it relates to the leashes, that's a wonderful point. I think that when you use a nylon leash, a leather leash, and anything with as minimal amount of metal as possible is definitely key if you're going to be walking your dog through. Now, just a minute ago, and I didn't know this, I apologize, you talked about working with service animals. And if you're working with a group of people who are now training service animals, you can contact the airport, contact TSA, and we will arrange for, I'll call it a checkpoint orientation for the dogs and either their handlers or their trainers so that the dogs do become familiar with the checkpoint experience. I've worked with a group called Guiding Eyes for the Blind at several different locations, several different airports, and we'll make sure that the whole group, sometimes it's, 15, 20 dogs and their trainers, and the idea is that the dogs, again, become familiar with the process of going through a checkpoint. We let them go through multiple times. And I tell you, by the second time, the dogs have it down. The people don't always, but definitely the dogs have it down.
Great information. Thank you.
Well, one thing I would like to add, since I have traveled with cats, and it's such a joyful experience anyway, I always used a harness with a leash on it. So, I didn't know about that you could get the private screenings, and that would have been so much better. But as you take them out, as you were talking about, it was noisy. The carts were going backwards, and you were getting the beep beep, and people were throwing their change and the little bins, and just all this noise. And the cat was, if I hadn't had that harness and leash, no telling where she would have wound up. But even so, I left there with all kinds of scratches. So definitely put a leash and a harness on your animal. And I've also had cats who have attempted to sneak in the suitcase, but I was able to catch them.
Yeah,
it does happen. It's really easy because it's a nice place to explore, and you just close it and there you go.
Yeah, so my cat, Maggie, weighs about 8 pounds. She's 8 years old. She weighs about 8 pounds. And I know, if we leave a drawer open, she likes to climb into the drawer. And so, again, same idea. You want to make sure you're not closing the cat into the drawer. And I know that's happened to me once or twice. You're like, where the heck is the cat? and eventually the cat will make a noise, and you're like, oh, my goodness. With luggage, me personally, if my luggage weighed an extra 8 pounds, I'd know it. And I think a lot of people with a carry-on bag especially would realize that this shouldn't be this heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all anyone who has a cat knows their propensity to like to go into anything that's closed, be it a suitcase, a carry-on bag, a duffel bag, a box. That's what they like to do. So, yeah, it's a good idea if you have cats in the house. Before you leave for your trip, check. Just make sure the cats are on the sofa or where they're supposed to be before you go. You did bring up an interesting point, though, when you're talking about the leashes and other accessories to carry. Just yesterday, I filled out health certificates for a client of mine that's bringing his dogs to the Dominican Republic. And one thing that I handed them, the animals that had rabies shots, which you have to verify, and their tags are Scotch tape to their rabies certificate. And I said, are your dogs microchipped? And of course they were not. And I said, take the tags. The tag does no good taped to the certificate. Just like the license plate on your car does no good unless it's on the car. So I said, do a favor, put the tags on the animal's collars. Since they're not microchipped, they have no form of ID on them. And as you notice, things happen. TSA animals can get loose. They can get run. Things happen. Carriers break, things get put on a wrong plane, whatever happens, that tag, something on your animal to physically identify them and tie them to you, That's their phone call home. That's what I tell all my clients. Think of that rabies tag as their phone call home if something happens. And stuff happens. You know, labels get scratched off. Things happen. If you're carrying the animal personally on the plane with you, less of a problem. But if it's going as baggage or something happened under the best of circumstances, I myself have had flights to Europe where I have my cat in a carrier fully expecting her to, you know, be under my seat in the plane. And at the last minute, they made me put her in the hold. And the cat had no ID, no proper thing. That's another story that I won't bore you all with right now. Pre-TSA, pre-9/11 years. But cat got loose out on the runway at Kennedy Airport.
Oh, my gosh.
I won't bore you all with that story, but it's a funny one.
She was okay?
Eventually, yes.
Eventually, is the answer.
Like the whippet, the little whippet that was running around for, I think, I don't even know if they ever found it, the little show dog that broke out of its carrier in one of the New York airports. And I don't think they ever found the dog. So people don't realize when you bring an animal with you. I mean, I look at it as I have a service dog and I train. I've done 1,300 service dogs for different people. And the first thing I say is, if it's possible to not bring your dog, if you can leave your dog at home or your cat at home safely, it's really probably better for them. I know a lot of people like to bring their dog or pet and say it's, you know, their emotional support animal, but really it's not good for them. I mean, you know, there are a lot of things that can happen with a dog physically or any animal from that constant, the altitude change and all the different things that can also impact us. Mm-hmm. And then they're also cramped up. So, you know, you think about people getting deep vein thromboses from flying a lot and being in that kind of cramped position. I'm sure there are a lot of different things that happen with, you know, with animals. And I know I'd rather leave my animal at home, except I need them to travel with me. But the rest of them get to stay home in their beds and, you know, leave all that. So I would say to people, if it's possible for you to try to make arrangements where you don't have to drag your animal around unless you're going to be there like a really long time. And it makes sense because mm-hmm. I don't think the animals really love it as much as you think they do.
I know the cats don't. They want to stay home.
Lisa, what's the best pet stowaway story you've got from TSA?
You know, I am familiar with, it happened with probably within the last, say, 3 months, that a woman came to the checkpoint, I don't remember which airport, and the TSA, you know, and she left the pet in the carrier, and the TSA officer looked at the x-ray and was like, what is that in there? And she said it was her emotional support boa constrictor.
Oh,
so TSA officers immediately contacted the airline and said, hey, do you know this passenger wants to bring her pet boa constrictor on the flight? And she's saying that it's her emotional support boa constrictor. And the airline said, oh, no, she's not. And so she left the airport with her pet boa constrictor or emotional support boa constrictor and was not permitted to fly with it in the cabin of the plane.
Oh, I loved the story with the emotional support, or was it
peacock?
The peacock. Yes. I can't remember if it was a service animal or an emotional support animal, but that was when the airline started going, nope.
nope. But Dusty, you have to realize that, you know, that the, according to the ADA, which I think most of the TSA models off the ADA, that it is only permitted versus the Service Dog Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, that the only two animals that are now allowed, and this is as of about the last 15 years since it was revised, the only two animals are dogs and then miniature horses. So nothing else is considered a service animal legally via ADA other than a service dog or a service, you know, miniature horse. So you can no longer bring your, you know, service skunk on or your service pot-bellied pig on. I have a funny Temple Grandin story that she told me. She was on a plane and she was in the ladies' room and she heard like digging, but it wasn't at the door. It was like to the side. She got out. No, you know, they didn't know what it was. Somebody else went in, heard the same thing. They finally checked it out, and it was a wild pig that, you know, they domesticated, like a potbelly pig, but not quite domesticated. And it was rooting underneath and digging under into the bathroom. And they kind of all laughed about it, and it, you know, defecated all over, and the cart went through it. And yeah, so, you know, animals have to be very well trained in order to be in a contained location, let alone be, you know, with banging and clanging and unfamiliar people at altitude, where what do you do? Like, so what do you do if, you know, you have an animal that gets unruly and out of control and you're at 35,000 feet? So people don't realize, they think like, oh, my animal, my dog is so well behaved, he's so good. But then they just throw it into a situation where it's just being set up for failure. And now what do you do at 35,000 feet when nobody can control this, this supposed service dog or this supposed service, whatever, peacock?
Well, and they made a movie about those snakes on a plane, so I think we know how that is.
And I think that happened recently as well, that some snakes got loose last year or so.
Well, Lisa, you have been an absolute treat today. Thank you so much for your time. This has been instructive, and I really appreciate the fact that when you started, you didn't answer the first question. You said, here's what you should do. Because that's the most important thing. We talk a lot about responsible pet ownership, and you know, this is a very interesting time. Like you said, more and more people are flying and taking their animals with them. Duffel bags. So you're asking your folks to make judgment calls very quickly as they see millions of them. Making it easy and obvious to the front TSA officers is so important, just so there are no mistakes or animals that end up in a much worse place than what is it, smells? That's a funny story. But then there's also those like the ones that we talked about where they never found the animal at JFK.
Yeah. So and, you know, if you have a question you're not sure, so what you can always do is ask a TSA officer when you get there. Say, hey, I'm traveling with my pet cat or pet dog. What should I do? And they're more than happy to provide you with the guidance. You know, they don't want an incident either. They want to make sure everything goes smoothly and the you know, checkpoint lines are continuing to move in a comfortable fashion for everybody.
While we have you with us, Lisa, before you go, you did bring up the question of carriers, and as a veterinarian, I've seen my share of it, and I'm sure everyone else here is too, of animals that escape out of all kinds of flimsy carriers. What does the TSA have any official recommendations, or you, based on your experience, do you have any recommendations to, you know, what sort of containers are appropriate other than obviously the standard rigid, you know, travel carriers?
Well, I've seen ones that are the hard plastic, and I've seen the ones that are soft-sided with mesh, and either type like that works. I've started to see some that are in backpacks, sort of like a bubble with appropriate air holes in it. So I've seen people in airports with a pet in a backpack that is clearly designed to hold an animal. So do we endorse any one variety over another? No, not really.
Okay.
Well, again, talk to the TSA officers at the airport. Mm-hmm. Is there information online they can reference, Lisa?
Right. You can just go to the website, tsa.gov, and type in pet or type in dog or cat, and there should be something that pops up that gives you some, again, some assistance, some guidance on the proper way to travel with your pet.
And let's remember what Janice says, it's dogs and miniature horses. Don't bring your emotional everything else to the airport. Leave it at home if you can. Lisa, thank you for being with us today, and we'll be right back, folks, so stay tuned.
I'm Burt Ward, Robin from TV's Batman, inviting you to feed your dog Gentle Giant's canned dog and puppy food, prepared with fresh meats, fresh fruits, and fresh vegetables that can make a huge difference in taste and nutrition for your dog. Our 27-and-a-half-year-old wolfhound, Tara, has lived more than triple her normal lifespan, eating only Gentle Giant's dry dog food mixed with Gentle Giant's canned dog food at Target, HEB, and stores near you. Try Gentle Giant's cat and kitten food, too.
Gentle Giants for life.
From a medical standpoint, I'll tell you what I tell all my clients that own dachshunds. If you want to own a dachshund, because they are amongst the longest living breeds of dogs, dachshunds, chihuahuas, schnauzers, unfortunately, they live long enough to become decrepit. And so they will suffer all the old age problems, heart disease, periodontal disease, or arthritis. They live too long. And if you want your dog to live a long, long time with no veterinary bills, two things you need to do for dachshunds, all dachshunds, miniature, full size, makes no difference. One, keep them on level ground. That means no jumping on the furniture, no going up and down stairs. If you want them on your lap, you pick them up. When you're done, you put them down. No jumping. The other thing, you want to be able to count their ribs from 40 yards away without your glasses on. You got to keep them skinny. Okay. Those are the two main reasons that they end up throwing their backs out. And throwing their back out is the main reason why people end up, you know, that's why you see all the little pictures of the wheeled carts for the paralyzed dogs. And 50%, if not more, of them are dachshunds because they are notorious for throwing out discs in their back. And if you don't want that to happen, keep them skinny and keep them on level ground.
Yeah, this puppy jumps. Jumps high.
Let it pick it up, put it down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So.
And if it likes to go up on things, you're not around.
You know, and Don, what you're saying. Yeah, Don, what you're saying is really important because I hear that all the time as a behaviorist, where I'm there for a behavioral issue, and people don't realize that it's not always just the dachshund's back. It's also their neck, because their neck proportional to their back is so short that they tend to get a lot of back and neck injuries and hind end injuries and all things like that. So people will say to me, but he loves to jump up and down, or he loves to go up and down the steps. He races up and down. And I'm like, well, you know, kids love to eat candy before bedtime, but you have to say no. And to Don's point, people have to understand that when they purchase or rescue an animal, make sure your lifestyle is conducive to that. If you're in a three-level townhouse, maybe getting a little dachshund that may want to run up and down the steps isn't the greatest idea. Maybe get something like a schnauzer or something that isn't, the lowriders, because they're going to want to do it. And then you're going to feel guilty as an owner, like, oh, no, I don't want to let, you know, he loves it. But it doesn't mean that it's good for him. And that's something that I see a lot of times with dachshunds, especially that are older. They have a lot of behavioral issues because they're sometimes in pain and they have an injury and somebody touches them or moves them the wrong way or goes to pick them up the wrong way. And they feel pain and they bite. And it's the poor dog who's in trouble when it was really the owner who was doing something wrong or just age and not knowing what to do. So, you know, think about what breed, that's a whole other show we can do. Think about what breed or combination of breeds would be good for you and would fit into your lifestyle before you just go and go, it's really cute, I like it.
Hey, folks, welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk Radio and TV. We just finished up with Lisa Goldstein at, was that her name? It was? I'm going to do that
It
again.
Rhymes with Einstein.
Farbstein, I think, was her name.
I think it's Farbstein. I don't want to say it wrong. Would be rude. Do it again. Sorry. Hi, folks. Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk Radio and TV. We just finished up with a TSA spokesperson who gave us wonderful advice and told us incredible stories. Don, I know you wanted to build on some of that. Please.
Okay. Yeah. For those of you who may just be joining us, Lisa Farbstein there from TSA gave us some excellent pointers on people traveling with their pets. This is, you know, summertime, heavy travel time, airlines. A couple things that I notice from a veterinary standpoint with people that travel. few pointers for our listeners. When you travel with animals, other than making sure they are in an appropriate carrier, be it soft-sided, rigid-sided, but you want something that's appropriate, not makeshift, I tell all my clients, a clean, dry towel, preferably cotton. You want something absorbent in the bottom of the cage. Some people put those absorbent pee pads in there or incontinence pads. Better than nothing, but not as good as a nice, heavy, folded towel. Not a pillowcase, not a sweatshirt, but a absorbent towel. And in the event your animal has an accident, you will be thankful that you had that towel in there. Mm-hmm. Other thing, animals should always travel on an empty stomach. Don't feel sorry for them. If your flight's in the morning, take the food away before you go to bed at night. If your flight's in the evening, take the food away in the morning when you get up. Animals can have, regardless of what species it is, they can have water right up until the time you get into the car to go to the airport. But food should be withheld many, many hours before you travel. The other thing, don't put water in the carriers. Carriers should be dry, other than the towel or perhaps some kind of soft toy that the animal is used to having with them. Carriers should be empty. The only thing that happens to water in a carrier is it spills and creates a nice cesspool of bacteria and smell and mess inside the carrier. Animals will not drink during transit. If you've got a long trip and there's stops in between, you can offer the animal water during stops. And lastly, make sure your animal has ID. If they're microchipped, great. If not, you may want to consider getting your animal microchipped before you leave on a trip. Something happens. Collars can be lost. Collars can be taken off by malicious people and disposed of and say, I found the animal. Microchip is inside the animal, can't be altered, can't be lost. But your animal should have some kind of an ID. If it's ideally the rabies tag, may just be an ID tag with your name and phone number on it. ID should be also on the outside of the carrier, a contact phone number, address, your name. But animals can't call. They can't pick up the phone and say, hey, you know, I'm lost, or, you know, I belong to Mrs. Jones in Minneapolis. The only ID is what's physically on their body. So make sure your pets travel with some kind of ID. Again, no food. Water's fine until the moment they travel. And make sure you got something clean and absorbent in their carriers. That's all I got to say.
Well, I'd like to add one thing. Don, fabulous information. When I travel with my cat, especially when I carry them on board, I take an extra roll of paper towels with me, and I mm-hmm. put the paper towels in there because if they have an accident, and crumple them up. Don't just place them in there, but crumple them up. So if you check and you feel that it's a moist or that they may have pooped, then you can just pull that out, crumple up some more and put it back in. And that way, you know, you're not having to deal with an entire pad or whatever that gets soiled. Mm-hmm. And that helps a lot.
That helps. I like the towels, particularly a nice thick folded cotton one. Not mm-hmm. only does it absorb accidents, but in the case that some of the carrier gets jostled or banged or dropped, it provides mm-hmm. that extra mm-hmm. layer of cushioning so the animal right. doesn't suffer severe injuries. My own daughter's taking their cats to Italy. On the way to the airport, there's this terrible, god-awful smell in the car. And, of course, one of them, diarrhea all over everything, pulled the car over. Luckily, was able to just remove the towel, throw it in the garbage pail at the gas station. Unfortunately, had extra towels in the car, was able to replace the towel, and we got to the airport. The cat stayed clean, was able to proceed. If we had shown up at the airport with the cat covered in that diarrhea and the kind of thing, there's no way it would have gotten on the plane. She would have lost her $400, and I would have taken a stinking cat home.
Hey, Don, what about people who think they need to give their animals drugs to travel?
Not a good idea, because it can be done under certain circumstances. If it's necessary, if you got to, you got to, but probably 99 times out of 100 that people think it's necessary, it's not. And it's not a good idea, especially if the animal is going in the baggage compartment. If you're taking it in the cabin with you and it's likely to be vocal or, you know, carry on, I can understand that because the owner is there with the animal. But if you're shipping it in the baggage thing between the stress, the change in temperature, the change in pressure, not a good idea to have the animal anesthetized or tranquilized.
And, you know, that goes to the training issue. Don't just take your animal first time out. It's like what people do. They put their animals in a car and the animal starts getting anxious when it goes into a car because you're only going to the vet or the groomer or something that isn't convenient. So if you're trying to get your animal, whether it's a cat, a dog, or whatever pet you're bringing, try to simulate that. So when we're training service dogs, we don't just start out by like, hey, let's take the 6-month-olds on the airplane and throw them in a situation. Well, first we have a way to do it. We first start with a sedan. So like the animal is in your car. The second one is an SUV and all the way in the back in a crate or carrier so that they get used to the being bounced around. Then we'll switch it to buses because buses have the stopping and going, the side to side. Then we'll do trains because trains have a lot more noise. They have a different movement. It's clinking and clanging. So they get used to that. Then by the time they go on a plane, it's like not a big deal, or through TSA because they've been used to it all. So again, instead of just dragging your animal around, try to train it, give it those experiences and get it to those places that are very similar so that the animal isn't in need of tranquilizing or in need of any kind of, medication to try to help it to get through. I mean, think about that. If you're dragging your animal and it needs to be medicated to go with you, do you really want to do that to your animal? It's not enjoying it. It's not having fun. It's like dragging your husband off to go shopping all day long. And your husband really didn't want to be there, but you promise him something. We'll leave that for another show. But you promise him something, and that's what he's focused on. But at least he had a choice. When you're dragging your animal around, it doesn't have a choice. And honestly, you know, if your animal is not good traveling, then why do you want to drag it along? You know, it's like, do you want to drag a toddler along if you can go on a nice trip with your spouse or significant other? Let the kids stay home with grandma and grandpa, you know? So just be a little more sensitive.
Maybe the spouse should take the tranquilizer.
there is one drug that we do sometimes recommend. We mean being, veterinarians. One of the things is animals that suffer from motion sickness. Pre-medicating them with whether it be an injection of the long-acting anti-vomiting drug, or whether it be Dramamine or Rasepromazine or something for a shorter trip. But, anti-nausea medication is something acceptable if animals need that. Again, that's one of the reasons they should always travel on an empty stomach. So if they do get nauseous or they do, all it is dry heaves, there's no mess to clean up, and the animal doesn't get additionally dehydrated from the vomiting. But, anti-nausea medication is probably an acceptable pre-medication for travel as opposed to just pure tranquilizers.
Right. And Serenia, we use Serenia quite a bit, which is, I'm sure, what you're referring to. And it's a nice little pill, and it's long acting. It lasts up to 24 hours, generally 12 hours, you're fine. And if your animal is motion sick, to Dr. Don's point, sometimes it's they get anxious and that causes them to lick and causes them to be nauseous. And, the Serenia is a really great thing to check with your personal veterinarian because it's great to have on hand for whatever it is. And it does help them quite a bit. So that is a great idea, Don, to ask your vet about potentially some antiemetic that would help the animal to not be nauseous, because a lot of animals who are having problems, it's just that they're nauseous and they have motion sickness. And that's also something we train. I train from when my pups are little. I pick them up and I kind of just little rock them, and I take them all different directions and on their back and on their front. And it helps. I very, very rarely, I don't think I can remember a puppy in the last 30 years who ever got motion sick. So you can even do that with your animal, and check with your local veterinarian who you trust and ask, because sometimes you can do things, or, feeding them in the car or feeding them like little treats, not massive amounts, but little treats to make it something that they're not anxious of. And also a lot of animals who are dogs who are overprotective or have containment aggression, and are going into the car, they're protecting you. So they're getting anxious because they're now protecting you in the car, like they would bark at the window outside your or at your home. They are now barking at the window outside your home in the car. And we see a lot of that, and the animals just get very anxious. So the Sirenia is a great idea, or any of the other the things that your veterinarian who knows your animal can potentially prescribe.
Yeah. Just quickly before we leave, guys, best tips for once you arrive at your destination with your pet to de-stress them. Dusty.
Let's see. Okay, first, I agree with Janice. You prepare your pet ahead of time, especially with a cat, because cats are prey animals, and anything out of the ordinary, in their opinion, is going to eat them. So, you know, start out by making the carrier friendly. And this will help on your way taking them to the vet, too. Put a towel in there, put treats in there, feed them. When they start to look at it as a fun place to hang out, the party place, then you close it up and walk around the house, let them go, give them treats. Then you take them around the block in the car. And then gradually, more and more, you take them to the vet. They give them treats. And this way, they're getting more accustomed to novel situations, getting used to being at the vet, but also, you know, strange things happening. They didn't die. They keep getting treats. And that's what I would do, especially with cats.
Don, what do you recommend?
Same thing, you know, when you get to a destination, depends. Some animals, you know, are cool and that you don't need to do to decompress them. And then those that do need it, yeah, do it gradually. Don't release your animal suddenly into a new strange environment where it's not going to be after a fearful ride, be it airplane, car, train, whatever. And now you put it into a new situation where it's even more fearful. The first thing to do is run for some place to look to hide or urinate and defecate all over whoever's home that you happen to bring them to. Let them chill. Sometimes leaving them in the carrier or the crate for a short period of time just to settle down helps. And don't rush to feed them. You know, just let them chill is the best thing I can think of.
Janice?
Well, I have quite a few things because I do this a lot, especially with service dog placements. So I think that's great advice about leaving them in the carrier, Don. I think it's obvious, you know, Dusty, what we were talking about and what you were talking about. But specifically with dogs, especially if you have a dog that has any kind of behavioral issues whatsoever, the problem is that a lot of times we're excited to get where we are. The best thing you can do with a dog, especially, you know, it's get them out to urinate, defecate, give them a little bit of water. Don't pour water on them. Let them have dribs and drabs of water. A large dog, maybe, you know, a half a cup of water. Because what people don't realize is if the dog is anxious or the animal is anxious and then drinks a ton of water, that's going to upset its stomach and it's probably going to vomit it back up. So little bits of warm, you know, like tepid water, not freezing cold ice water, which isn't really good for anybody. And then the second thing is if you have a dog, regardless, walk him around. So let him urinate and defecate wherever it is outside. Walk them around the neighborhood, even if it's only around the block or it's up and down the block a little bit, so that he starts decompressing and he's not walking into the home, assuming that he owns the home or being afraid. So now he's walking a little bit. It's like taking a good deep breath and just resting and relaxing for a moment. When you do bring him in, make sure that you go in first. So if you have your dog on a leash, put your arm behind you. You walk through the doorway first, let the dog come in behind you so he sees that you're taking charge. He doesn't have to protect. He doesn't have to mark territory of your friend's new, you know, $80,000 Oriental rugs. And it's really important to kind of do that and keep him on the leash for a few minutes until he kind of gets used to everything. If there's another animal, introduce them in the backyard or out in the front on leash. Don't do it in the house. And if the dog coming in is the more stable of the two, then bring that dog in and then allow the other dog to come up to him. You always want to let the dog, especially with the dog, be comfortable in the place before he's got to be like, oh my God, what's that coming at me? What's, you know, going to attack me? So it's just really doing those same things, like when you come home or when you've been on vacation, you're picking the dog up after vacation and you're coming into the house. It's the same thing. Just get him to decompress before he walks into the house. Let him relax. Don't make him, you know, have a bad experience and set him up to fail.
Great advice, panel. What a great show today. That's been really informative. I really dug Lisa as well. That was a really good guest. For all you travelers out there, heed all of this great advice that you've heard today, because it all makes perfect sense. And as we try to promote responsible pet ownership, this is the type of information we try to give you so that if you choose to travel with your pets, you know how best to do so. So everybody arrives alive and well. That's the key. So, guys, thanks for joining us today. We're going to be back soon with another episode, so stick with us because we'll be back with more stuff like this very soon. Panel, thank you, guys. Great show today. We'll talk to you soon.